you've got to be really aware of bears,
yeah.
Cougars, wolves. And you're not top of the food chain out here. You're around 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's just not something you worry about in Nova Scotia, right? You just get up and go.
Hey, I just wanted to take a minute now to thank my friends at Flowers River Lodge, Hawk River Outfitters, and Crooks Lake Lodge for sponsoring today's episode. If you haven't been to Labrador to any of these three lodges, fly fishing for trophy Atlantic salmon or brook trout, I would highly encourage you to take a look. Just go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com/Labrador and find out everything you need to know there. Yeah, thanks for tuning into the podcast today, and we've gone coast to coast. Today I'm connected via Skype to my definitely one of my longest term friends, Michael, I should, in case his mother's listening, Michael Isaacs. How you doing today, buddy?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Good. And so you're in Squamish?
I'm in Squamish, BC, about an hour north of Vancouver.
Nice. Very, very scenic part of the world.
Yeah, the mountains are all straight up out of the ocean. Here's the last place before it goes all the way into the mountains. Nice. We have the ocean a couple kilometers away.
Cool. Yeah, we go way back. It's kind of scary to think that it's way back now, but we go back to high school. We actually just lived up around the corner from each other and met probably at the bus stop. I don't even remember.
Is it that or English class?
English class, probably, yeah.
Something like that.
We went to high school at Halifax West in Halifax and became pretty good friends from there. I would say we've done a lot of, I think we both share passions for the outdoors. Maybe not exactly the same or same levels, but, you know, you definitely got me more into the whole downhill skiing end of things, that was awesome. The little bit I was able to do that, and we did a few trips down to New England, and that was awesome. And I got you out on the water a few times, hopefully, I think we had some good times. I think you were there for some big fish too.
A couple of good sized smallmouth bass.
Yeah, we ran into
those. A couple of stripers, I think.
Yeah. And I don't know if we got you in any American shad or anything else, but we might have up around this. Yeah, we did. Yeah. You had an uncle or something that lived right on.
We did on the river.
Yeah. And I got, actually you were there when I got, I caught my, I think to date, my biggest speckled trout. We were fishing the shad in that little dinghy or whatever it was. We were shad fishing, and I nailed that. I think it was 19 inches, that speckled trout, and I put it back. That was cool.
We had quite a few fish that day, actually.
Yeah, that was a good day on the water. So we've got the similar interest for the outdoors. Of course, we did some hiking. I didn't do a whole lot of that with you, but we did a little bit near where we grew up there in Rockingham. But, you know, one thing led to the other. We did some business together, and we pulled through that.
Yeah, somehow.
Most people cannot say that when they've done business with friends. And then you've kind of bounced from one thing to the other. And I settled down here not far from Halifax, and you are now out in BC. And how many years have you been out there?
10.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, basically, I moved here in 2007.
Yeah,
and pretty much gave up trying to do my own business stuff.
Yeah,
and
started
working for various other corporations. All of them
outdoor
related.
Yeah, exactly. Very fitting. You would pick out Michael as probably one of the most well dressed outdoor people. Because he's been fortunate in the companies that he works for, to be in that sort of outdoor apparel industry, And so we're going to talk today a little bit about East Coast, West Coast, at least with regard to Canada. And, you know, because when we were talking last, you know, I'm always saying, you know, oh, it's so nice out there. You know, I was out in Vancouver and BC back in 2000 for about a week on a fishing trip. And, you know, I was blown away by the scenery. And, of course, I came into Vancouver and flew out the next day on a float plane right to the lodge and, you know, stayed in a nice pampered lodge a couple hours north of Vancouver. But, you know, when we got talking and you're like, how much you miss the East Coast. And so I think there's this misconception of, you know, people out here on the East, you know, wanting to get out there or explore the mountains that you guys have out there. And then we got this whole discussion going about, you know, well, you know, you can't just do that. it's not that easy.
No, and I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions. I mean, certainly looking out my windows right now, actually on any side of the building, and you're looking up at mountains. It's snowing up there right now, actually.
Oh, yeah?
But it's raining here at sea level. But the misconception certainly is it's a lot of fun to look at it, but it's not necessarily the easiest place to access.
Yeah.
For instance, like we had a very snowy winter here this year, mm-hmm. but there are no hills to go tobogganing on because all of the hills are straight up and down and full of trees, rocks, and whatever else. There isn't just an open rolling field for the kids to toboggan on.
Right.
Not one. The bottom of the valley is flat.
Really?
And it's surrounded by mountains 68,000 feet high.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Well, I mean, it does. It's one of those things that in Halifax growing up, well, we had to choose which hill to go tobogganing on. Like there were lots.
Yeah.
But it's stuff like that you don't actually really think about until you're here and you've got maybe a friend with a two-year-old who has never gone camping.
In British Columbia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like they would love to go camping, but, you know, the hikes are all straight up a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many kilometers of hard hiking in very remote terrain. Once you start hiking, you know, the parking lot for the easiest access here from Squamish, which is very popular with people from Vancouver, is at 1,000 meters or 3,000 feet, basically exactly. That's when you get out and start walking.
Yeah.
You've been driving up a long gravel road to get there, and it's a long uphill hour and a half to get to get out of the woods, basically.
Wow.
And then you're looking at another pretty big hike up a steep field before you get to a nice view. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a 10,000 foot volcano. It perfect, pointy, snow covered. Amazing out of a postcard kind of thing.
Yeah,
but it's beyond just a jeans and t-shirt kind of walk in the afternoon. There isn't a level that is super easy to do.
Yeah,
and while you're out there, especially with children. Or even a pet, you've got to be really aware of bears, cougars, wolves, and you're not top of the food chain out here. You're around 4 or 5.
Yeah,
That's just not something you worry about in Nova Scotia, right? You
right,
just
get exactly. up and go. I mean, and, yeah.
Oh, here, especially with children, because cougars love children and pets, and by love I mean to eat them.
Yeah.
Like basically it happens.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any children death here in a long time. There was an attack years ago and those people actually packed up and left. They had a restaurant here. Yeah. They left. Let's see it. We're out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't necessarily consider that. We're like, oh, I'm going to ski. Like, hell, I would love to ski at Whistler every day. It's $140 a day to ski there.
Yeah. You were saying it seems beautiful and I'd like to get out there sometime, but And, you know, the hills around here are not great, but, you know, you go to Wentworth or whatever. I don't know what the price is now, but I'm guessing probably like $40-$50, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The last season's pass I bought from Martok, they put the price up from $99 to $119.
Yeah, for the season.
For the season, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's different. And this isn't necessarily a grass is always greener conversation. Right, I mean, get me wrong. This is an incredible place to live.
Yeah.
It's just that everybody I know, sort of from Ontario to Nova Scotia, is out camping, hiking, paddling, canoeing, sea kayaking, doing things all the time, whether or not they have a family or pets or whatever, they throw the dog in the canoe and they go.
Yeah.
And out here, it's a much smaller percentage of that. You have people with hard-sided RVs, and by hard-sided, I mean none of the pop-up trailers, because frequently campgrounds get closed down to soft-sided pop-up trailers due to bear activity.
Yeah.
Because the bears can rip right through that canvas in no time.
Yeah,
you and just... It's usually campgrounds because there's always some idiot who leaves their food out, and then it ends up shutting down the entire campground.
Yeah.
Because a grizzly walked in. And I'm not talking black bears.
No.
Those things are easy to understand. Brown bears are the same deal. Not really a threat. It's when a grizzly walks in.
Yeah.
Basically, they'll shut down the whole thing. And it happens up in Banff National Park every summer. Lake Louise area shuts down all the time.
Yeah, I keep thinking of that video that went viral. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. Some dude on a mountain bike screaming through the trees. And he keeps turning around. And there's this monstrous... I don't even know exactly where it was taken, but I thought maybe it was out west in Canada.
And, I saw that. And
that bear is motoring.
Yeah, they can actually run. I've definitely seen a video beyond a GoPro on a helmet, like actual scientific video, on Nature Things or something kind of thing, where they're watching a bear do 60 kilometers an hour for over half an hour. Chasing a rabbit or something. The researchers at the time, remember, they were in a helicopter and they were blown away. They've never seen an animal this size move like that.
Wow.
But I mean, I was out for an evening ride a few years ago, and just out of the corner of my eye, bombing down the trails, I saw something move, and I kind of came around more of a hairpin corner, and I all of a sudden could hear this scurrying and see out of the left side of my
peripheral
peripheral vision for the most part, two small bears running up a tree.
Yeah.
They were just booting it.
Yeah.
And in front of me was their mom on a hind leg. I was in between.
Yeah, that is not the place you want to be.
And I'm like, you have a nice evening. I'm just going to go the other way.
Yeah.
And turn around, like right back uphill.
Yeah.
I was not sticking around.
Yeah.
But, you know, sure, that can happen on the East Coast.
Mm.
However, here, we are right on the edge of a serious chunk of wilderness.
Yeah.
And there are elk in town.
Yeah.
Cougars are the worst. I mean,
yeah.
I say elk. Elk are far more dangerous than most bears. During mating season, late August, September.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You do not want to.
You don't want to mess with an elk.
No, don't get between a dude and his lady. Well, they have a lot of antlers, and they are vicious.
Yeah. Wow.
I actually woke up in a tent in Banff National Park once during mating season, and we surrounded by more than a dozen of them, all going after the same female.
Lucky her. Yeah.
And they bugle. They make this funny noise that actually sounds like someone badly playing a bugle.
Yeah.
So you can tell they're coming, but it was 6 a.m. or something like that. Just that noise. And just to get out of the tent and surrounded by them. But
yeah,
for the most part, it's different considerations out here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to go skiing today. Yeah. I mean, it's just been dumping snow up at the mountain. Like I said, the parking lot here to access the main park. That park runs from just north of Vancouver, from the mountains, so the ski hills on the top of Vancouver, or North Vancouver. It runs right to Whistler.
Yeah.
It's called Garibaldi Provincial Park. And I'm sort of halfway between the north and south end of it. And that parking lot is 3,000 feet up. So it's snowing up there right now. It's much colder up there. But the avalanche risk is kind of high.
Yeah, you got that to deal with too.
And despite the days of avalanche training I've taken, the $500 avalanche beacon that I've got, plus the probe, plus the shovel, I need a friend with all the same tools skills. You can't go by yourself safely. And there's never really been a consideration for that in the East.
No.
Avalanche danger is like you can go up the Shikshoks in Quebec and go hut to hut touring and not really worry about an avalanche sweeping down the mountain and killing you.
Yeah.
And it's literally been days since a guy in his 30s was killed.
Really?
His wife and child. Yeah, behind. Yeah, it's just a few. Actually, I shouldn't say days. Well, you can measure anything in days.
A couple weeks. But
2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he was an engineer. You know, he wasn't like he was just some uneducated individual.
Yeah, right.
This guy had all the training, had all the skills, and got caught up.
Yeah.
I have another friend who had years and years and years of experience, years of training with people who are very highly skilled. And two of them were taken out by an avalanche. They both survived, but my friend nearly lost his right arm.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, went back in the middle of the summer and found his prescription sunglasses that had come off his face.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a huge mountain.
Oh, yeah.
You walked up, stepped on it.
Yeah, wow.
But again, this is the kind of considerations where you just don't...
No.
You don't think about it as much.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's amazing. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah, it is. It's absolutely stunning. But what you're missing is on the Eastern North America, there's a different set of conditions. One, for the most part, we have a lot fewer wild animals. Certainly,
yeah.
A lot fewer considerations for
dangerous animals. Yeah, I mean, we've got black bears that, you know, people do encounter the wrong way a few times, but, you know, it's very, very occasional, right?
Yeah. I mean, my friend 5 years ago let her cat out, and it was taken by an eagle. That's just the stuff you don't consider.
Yeah.
On the East Coast, it's like, it would happen to be snowing, so she knew it was taken by a rather large animal.
Yeah.
The largest flying animal around here is the bald eagle or the golden eagle. You get those occasionally, which are even bigger.
Yeah.
You're talking 6-7 foot wingspans.
Yeah.
And they think nothing of picking a 6 or 7 pound salmon up out of the river.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah.
Live. You know.
I'm sure, you know, the odd pet gets taken. I know there's quite a few bald eagles in the Annapolis Valley now, and I see them around here. But, yeah, I'm sure it's more common out there than it is here.
Well, I believe basically down Kentville way and here in Squamish, they flip-flop back and forth between, I think, the highest bald eagle counts in the world.
Yeah?
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Squamish has the signs built. I mean, it's incredible here. People come from all over the world to see them.
Yeah.
They have volunteers here with telescopes, and they'll show you where to look and stuff like that. Well, I mean, it's not like it's hard.
No.
You can fall on the river and see 50.
Yeah. Nice.
They're all all the time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, small animals, a small dog, if they're hungry, you know, there's no fishing that day, then they'll pick a small animal right up out of your backyard.
Oh yeah. It's, you know, so these are the things, like it's dangers and accessibility and just these things we kind of take for granted out here. And grass is always greener, right? But you know, I can, you know, once it's fishing season, I can just get up and go, you know, not far from town. But, you know, it's a different story out there. It's, you know, it's more involved.
Well, I mean, we could basically walk from my house to some pretty good salmon fishing.
Yeah.
And we'd be safe for the most part. The problem is with the river running at that speed, you can't hear the bears walk up behind you.
Right, right. Yeah, you pretty well got it. You've got to go with somebody. Like, you should go with somebody else. And, you know, a lot of the footage I see of lodges, you know, in BC and Alaska and all that. I mean, there's a guide with a gun.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, like, really, the attacks and the injuries and things like that are really not that common.
No,
obviously, if you have paying customers, mm-hmm. you got to ensure their safety. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do, they do heli in salmon fishing and stuff like that. Yeah. If you're going to be a long way away from help, then you got to go prepared. It's common out here to take bear bangers, which is basically something that looks like a Sharpie style marker, mm-hmm. only it actually has gunpowder in it, and it's a spring loaded device that makes a very loud bang.
Okay.
It's pretty common to take those with you. It's usually what you use before bear spray. Unfortunately, with bear spray, it doesn't go that far. Mm. So you've got to wait for the animal to be within 20 feet of you to pull the trigger. Yeah. And that takes some nerve.
Yeah, I would say. And if that bear's moving, you're talking like you got half a second.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, typically you're out here, you're going to be hiking with bear spray and bear bangers, mm-hmm. Depending mm-hmm. on where you are. Mm-hmm. If you're in a national park or a provincial park, there'll be lots of signs. But like I say, like bears are like... sort of like dogs, you can kind of tell what they're thinking.
They're not
generally going to sneak up behind you. They're fairly docile creatures. They don't really want to interact with people. They don't have to.
No.
Unless, you know, some idiot bikes between them and their children, you're not likely to have much of an altercation.
Yeah. Right.
Cougars, on the other hand.
Yeah.
They're cats. They're completely... Yeah. Untrustable.
Oh yeah.
they can leap a four-lane highway in a single jump.
Yeah.
They can break through 60, 70 kilometers an hour in no time. There's no chance you're running one.
Wow.
Not even on a bicycle.
Yeah.
And I mean, what I tell people is if you see one, it's not hungry.
Yeah.
and they're like, what's that supposed to mean? Like, you're never gonna see a cat coming.
Yeah.
They are incredible hunters.
Yeah.
And they will sneak up behind you and bite you on the neck.
And they do, do they?
And they close down trails here every year. They'll close down whole sections of trails because there was an aggressive cougar on the trails. And you just don't go there anymore. I mean, again, attacks are really rare. Deaths are almost non-existent.
Yeah, right, right.
But it's a matter of balancing this. Mm-hmm. We're right on the edge of the wilderness here.
Yeah.
And I mean, people, even in North Vancouver, have bears wandering down the street, emptying their garbage. And I mean, certainly this conversation wouldn't necessarily be to scare anybody from coming out here. I've been living here for years, and I mean,
You get used to it. It's just part, it's like ticks. I don't know, you probably got ticks out there too, but.
Thankfully, not as much.
Not as much as out here. It's like ticks, like, you know, where we moved. I mean, you know, there's some hot spots for the bad Lyme carrying ticks, and you know, we're like, do we let the kids play outside? Well, of course you have to, right? So
yeah,
you just deal with it.
You're mitigating your dangers.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, as far as accessing lakes, because of the mountains, all the lakes here are small, right? So there's no big lakes. There's no Panuk Lake or Grand Lake out here.
Yeah.
You can swim across most of the lakes around here.
Yeah.
The rivers, on the other hand, are you know, up to class 5 rapids.
Right. Yeah.
With excellent fishing.
Oh, sure.
However, if you want to, so I mean, canoe trips are kind of short-ish, depending on where you are. There are some incredible, you know, longer canoe trips, but generally safer with a raft. But sea kayaking, it's a bit challenging because there's no safe place to pull out.
No, exactly.
Yeah, it's all a bit different. Like if I were to paddle out of Squamish here, there's only two or three safe places to pull out because everything else, you basically need climbing gear to get out of your boat. it's just a vertical cliff. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really think about that here. I mean, you know, you can just go sea kayaking, plop your kayak in Halifax Harbor or St. John River or whatever, and, you know, get out wherever you want. You know, you're usually not too far from a road or somebody's house or a little town. Yeah. So that's East Coast, West Coast. I mean, you know, I think most people out here appreciate what we have. You know, we understand, you know, we don't have the big mountains and, you know, we got the highlands in Cape Breton. I guess before we're done, you know, what would be some of your favorite areas in the Maritimes to hike or camp?
Well, I would say that, you know, I agree with you, and you know, the chances, like, you can just walk out the door in Nova Scotia, and I would highly suggest walking out the door to Cape Chignecto. Okay. You know, it's that funny little V point of land that comes down between Nova Scotia and New Brunswick.
Okay.
And Cape Chignecto is a beautiful provincial park. It is literally the shape of a V. The interior of what would be the triangle is privately owned, but incredible coastal hiking.
Cool.
Skyline Trail, Paulet's Cove, and Fishing Cove up in Cape Breton off of the Cabot Trail are just stunning hikes.
Yeah.
And virtually all of them can be done with children.
Yeah.
Like, again, there's no risk of storms or
virtually bears or avalanches. Virtually non-existent. Yeah.
And also great sea kayaking along there too, if you wanted. I wouldn't sea kayak in Cape Chignecto unless you were an expert. The tide moves at around 8 knots.
Yeah.
So unless you're a real strong paddler, it sounds like a river. Actually, when you're up on the cliffs looking out from Chignecto, it actually sounds like a river down below, and you actually just see the tide leaving. It's incredible.
Don't mess with the Bay of Fundy. I'm doing a whole show on that with my buddy Art in the coming weeks. Yeah, don't mess with the Bay.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But closer to Halifax, one of the gems is sitting right in the middle of the harbor. McNabb's Island is an incredible, beautiful location to hike. There's great beaches.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history there. Yeah. I highly recommend reading up on some of the history. But you can take a ferry there all summer. Mm. There used to be 2,000 people living out there. Bill Lynch's fairs started out there.
Yeah, cool.
And there used to be schools and churches and a huge community out there. And now there's one caretaker.
And a bunch of deer.
Tons of deer, yeah. But I mean, it's a great place to get out and hike, and you're right in the middle of the city.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Have a picnic or a bonfire or whatever. But basically, the province has bought the whole chunk of land. But
awesome.
Those are some of my favorites.
Cool. That's awesome. No, that's really good. I'll put all those in the show notes. I'll put some links, and that was a good little intro to you, and you know, we'll definitely have to get you back when we get into specifics on camping and hiking, because you're the man when it comes to that. And I mean, you know, you spent 25 or we'll say 30 of your years out here on the East Coast, and you've probably explored more in that time than you know, a dozen of our listeners combined. So. Cool, man. I appreciate your time.
It's been great chatting with you.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll catch up again soon.
Oh, yeah. Won't be the last time. Take care, man. Thanks.
Exactly. All right. Talk to you.
So, again, special thanks to Michael Isaacs, my longtime friend, currently living on the west coast of Canada. Joined me today, and we had a discussion about East Coast, West Coast, just different experiences and that kind of thing. So hopefully you enjoyed that. This has been episode 23 of the Maritime Outdoorsman. So if you want to catch a few show notes, go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com/023. And that does it for this one. And hopefully you can tune in for the next one. You can also subscribe to these on iTunes. And so by all means, go ahead and do that. We have an email newsletter. I'm just going to send emails notifying you of new episodes as they come and any important news that comes along. So thanks again. Take care, and we'll catch you on the next one.